Our scripture lesson this morning is Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 17. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If in fact we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I tend to find people considering their families tend to either believe everybody's family ought to be like theirs, or they feel like I come from the weirdest family that God ever created. Well, if you think you came from an odd or a difficult family, perhaps a story here will change your perspective. One day, the pastor of a rural church saw a small boy he didn't know playing in the field behind the church. So the pastor went out and introduced himself and asked the little boy, said, "Do you live nearby?" The little boy answered, "Yeah, down the street. They sent me here to live with my uncle." "Well, where's your father?" the pastor asked. "He went to prison last week." "Well, where's your mother?" the pastor asked. "She ran away." "Do you have a sister?" "Yeah." "Where is she?" "She's in jail." "Was there anyone else?" "Yep, my brother." "Well, where is he?" "He's at Harvard University." "Well, at least one member of your family's doing well," the pastor said. "What's he studying?" The little boy replied, "Nothing. They're studying him." I don't think anyone would blame this little boy if he wanted to put himself up for adoption and trade families. Coming from a completely dysfunctional family, it would be sensible to wonder when he would follow in the footsteps of his father, his mother, his sister, or his brother. One could make the case that being stuck in such a dysfunctional family, that he was destined for a prison cell. Now, the truth of the matter is, some of us come from more positive family situations than do others. Some of us may come from more dysfunctional family situations than others. But we were all born into a dysfunctional family. We were all born into the human family. We were all born sinful creatures. Then we read Romans chapter 8, and in this chapter, and I'm paraphrasing and summarizing, Paul emphatically proclaims that we can be freed from our sinful nature. Now that's enough just to think on right there. Because how many times as Christians do we want to say, "Well, yeah, I'm trying, but you know I'm a sinner." Well, we are. But how many times do we hang on to that so that we make excuse for ourselves? "I don't have to try so hard because I am a sinner." But Paul proclaims in Romans chapter 8 that we can be freed from our sinful nature. Paul emphatically proclaims that humanity can be freed from negative family histories. That in this case of the little boy, that he could break the chain. Paul emphatically proclaims that we can be freed from the guilt of sins and mistakes of the past. How many good people desire to be what God wants them to be today, but they keep looking back at where they messed up? Maybe none of you have ever done that, but I have more than once. But in Romans chapter 8, Paul emphatically proclaims that we don't have to do that, that we can be freed from the past. We don't have to hang on to the guilt of mistakes and sins. Paul goes so far as to proclaim that we can be freed from the impulses that drive us to destructive habits and addictions that seek us like a predator seeks its prey. I mean, how is it to say, well, you know, I'm just a worrier? How easy is it to say, well, you know, I'm just prone to anger. People need to overlook it. How easy is it just to say, I'm prone to whatever? Paul says in Romans chapter 8, we can be free from those destructive impulses and those destructive habits, those destructive addictions that do seek us out like a predator seeks its prey. Paul proclaims that we can be freed from the fears that grip us. I've said this before. Y'all have lived longer than I. I don't mean anything derogatory by that. But in the years that I've been on this earth, it seems that Americans, both individually and as a nation, were the most fearful people I've ever seen in my life. I can't remember people being so scared of everything. Paul says we can be freed from our fears. In short, through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we can put ourselves up for adoption. We can change families. We can be adopted into God's family. Theologian and biblical commentator William Barclay believed that Paul wrote this passage, and as Paul wrote this passage, that he likely was thinking about the Roman system of adoption in his time. In Roman culture during this time, the father had absolute control of the family. Absolute control. I'm 60 years old. Some of y'all say boo-hoo. I'm 60 years old. If my dad was still living in Roman culture, he would still rule the family. I would not have come of age yet. In Roman culture, as long as the father of the family was living, he ruled the family, and the son never became of age until his father passed away. The son was under complete control of his father. Now, if an adoption was to occur, there was a procedure where the birth father would symbolically sell the son and buy him back, or the child, and buy them back twice. The third time, the birth father did not buy back the son, and at this point, the power of the father was broken, of the birth father. The perspective of the adoptive father would then be presented papers to the magistrate court, and then the power of the father would be transferred to the adopting father. When the adoption was complete, in every single way, the child was the child of the new father. It was as if the past father never existed. It was as if the past relationship never existed. Even if that child was grown and had debt, those debts no longer existed. The past did not exist. The adopted son became heir to his new father's estate. And even if there were other children involved, in that case, they became joint heirs with the others. And seven people would witness this in case there were any questions down the road. In that vein of thought, we read Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, Paul is contrasting life that is motivated by our human nature, our sinful nature, versus life that is motivated by the Spirit. And then beginning the second half of Romans 14 following, Paul states, "Those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his suffering, in order that we may also share in his glory. In this line of thought of the adoption in Roman culture, Paul declares before Christ, we are under the power of our sinful nature. We have no control over it. It has complete power over us. That sinful nature creates all manner of sin and fear. We are at the mercy of the power of that sinful nature, regardless of our attempts to escape. But there's one thing we can do. We can put ourselves up for adoption by God, the Heavenly Father. And God the Father does not need the sinful nature's permission to adopt us. God, through the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus, brings us into complete possession so that the old sinful nature no longer has any rights on us whatsoever. Now, you may notice that I've said a couple of times that we put ourselves up for adoption. The theological term is that we are released from our sinful nature and brought into God's family by grace. And the first step in our adoption into God's family is to realize that we humans can do nothing, absolutely nothing, to earn God's favor. You might recall December 13th, 2003 was the day Saddam Hussein was captured. The former dictator crawled out of a rat-infested hole as special operations forces took him into custody without firing a single shot. And the man who had once known unbridled power was now a helpless, pathetic-looking prisoner. Ironically, as they pulled him out of that hole, do you remember what he said? I am Saddam Hussein, president of Iraq. I am willing to negotiate. Even though he had $750,000 in cash with him, such words were laughable considering the circumstances. Yet if we get serious and look at ourselves, how many times do we think we can negotiate with God? Now, I doubt if there's a single one of us in this room this morning who, if I ask for a show of hands, how many have tried to negotiate with God? I doubt if a single person would raise your hand. And partly because, to be honest, when you sit here inside the church and you think about that, you can't imagine yourself doing so. But if we sit back and somehow step out of ourselves and look at ourselves from the outside, if we could. For various reasons, many people seem to think that God needs us. God needs my money. God needs my social standing to make any inroads in this community. God needs my intelligence. Well, not mine, maybe yours. God needs the length of time that I've been a church member. You name it. Sometimes when we stand outside of ourselves and look at how we really feel, not how we know we're supposed to feel, but how we actually feel, we seem to so many times believe we have something that God needs so badly that I can negotiate with God the Father and come to God the Father on my own terms. The only way one is adopted into the family of God is through the unearned, undeserved, merciful love of God. And when we are adopted into God's family, we become different people. Now, by that, I don't necessarily mean that every aspect of our personality changes, but we become different in character. We become different in what motivates our attitudes and actions. In Romans 8, Paul says we are no longer slaves to our sinful nature. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, Paul says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. A lady had been converted to Christ and had attended classes at their church that was for new converts. And she concluded that she wanted to be baptized and become a member of the church. Well, the pastor wanted to be sure that she understood what this meant, so he asked her to describe some details of how she was now a converted Christian. Well, she was on the housekeeping staff of a large and busy hotel, and she responded to the pastor's question saying, I had something come into my life that I never experienced before. So the pastor pushed, well, can you tell me what that is? And she said, well, I can't talk theology to you. And to be honest with you, I still don't know my Bible all that well. Said, but I can tell you, ever since I got religion, I don't sweep dirt under the rug anymore. Being adopted into God's family makes us different in the way we live. But you know what the sad thing in this whole sermon is? The sad thing in this whole line of thought is that grace is available to everybody. But so many don't recognize it or don't accept it. The strength and the power to live victoriously in this life is available to all. If we'll let God reveal it to us. But unfortunately, sometimes we're like Bill. Bill was a drunk, and he wandered the streets of a large city for years. He spent his time searching dumpsters for scrap food. He slept under bridges and under makeshift shelters. After 10 years of wandering the streets and out of contact with his family, he died. No one noticed. But it was later discovered that a relative of Bill's had died 2 years before he did. This relative had left Bill $4.5 million in his will. The family searched and searched for Bill to inform him of his newfound wealth, but to no avail. $4.5 million was at Bill's disposal, and he died penniless in the streets. I see all of y'all every Sunday. Thank goodness. But I want to say something this morning just in case. Have you recognized and accepted the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you accepted that grace where you don't live in fear anymore, because regardless of how crazy this world is, God's in charge of it and I'm God's child. So I might not like my method of getting to heaven, but I know where I'm headed, so I'm not scared. Have you recognized and accepted the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ so you don't make excuses for your sins anymore, and you look that sin in the face and says, you got nothing on me. I'm a child of God. I've got the power over you. Y'all know me. I'm soft sell. I'm not going to give a hard altar call. You can settle it in your pew. But just because you've been in the church 75 years don't mean you automatically know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you've accepted it. You may have the grace of Jesus Christ at your disposal, but you haven't grasped it yet. Or maybe you've grasped it to the point you know if you drop dead before you walk out that door, you're going to heaven. But you haven't grasped it to the point that you have victory. You can settle it in your pew. I don't believe in hard altar calls. I believe in offering the altar if you want to come. But you can speak to Jesus right in your pew. And if you happen to not have accepted that grace yet, even though you look good sitting out there, and you do, between you and God, I don't need to know a thing about it. Between you and God, will you grasp that grace this morning? Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in His sufferings, in order that we may also share in His glory. Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, thank You for Your marvelous grace. Thank You that we have victory over sin. Thank You that the sins and the mistakes, regardless of how grievous they may be of the past, no longer have any grip on us. But that if we'll just grasp Your grace, we are adopted into Your family. And we are Your children. Gracious Lord, You know each of us. You know our walk in faith with You. Lord, if there's any in this room that have not grasped that grace, may they settle it with You this morning, and may they experience that grace this day. If perhaps we have accepted that grace, that we know that we're going to heaven, but we have not grasped it to the point that we have victory in this life, Lord, may we grasp the victory of grace, that we may claim our adoption, that we are Your children, we are Your heirs. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen. This morning our altar is open. As